From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news update. Avalanche forecasters are warning of increasing danger in downtown Juneau and the surrounding backcountry, especially if more snow and rain falls on an already unstable snowpack. If conditions worsen, the city would recommend evacuation of downtown neighborhoods. Juneau city officials said in a release Friday that there is potential for, quote, historic avalanches in the downtown area through Monday. Depending on temperatures and how much snow falls, the city's urban avalanche advisory could be raised to extreme danger, which is the highest level on the scale.
I have never forecasted an extreme avalanche condition yet.
Tom Matisse, the city's emergency programs manager, is advising downtown residents to be cautious, especially if they live near the Barron's Avenue avalanche path. If residents end up evacuating their homes on the city's recommendation, a shelter would be set up at Centennial Hall. Matisse says they've recently seen avalanches of snow 4 to 6 feet deep throughout the region.
In the urban environment, if we have a 4 foot deep avalanche that's wide enough across the face of the Barron's Path, that's more than enough to hit houses.
Kanan Bosler of the Coastal Alaska Avalanche Center says they've already seen widespread avalanche activity all around Juneau, from Douglas Island down to Snetisham, and they expect more avalanches over the weekend. A freezing rain crust has formed on top of recent snow that fell on a weak snow layer. Bosler says the snow's weakness can be triggered from even a flat spot on the terrain.
And then it'll travel through that freezing rain crust and collapse with the looser snow below and the denser snow above. So it can travel great distances, and we've already seen avalanches that have traveled over a quarter mile just from propagating through the snowpack.
He says they're warning people heading out to the backcountry to use extreme caution, even in terrain that is generally considered safe from any avalanches. He says the unstable snowpack conditions could potentially last through the rest of the season. And in other news, Juneau residents found out this week that their local electric utility will not cover damage caused by an unusual power surge in November. A few days before they got the news, another electric surge damaged more property, including stuff one resident thought was safeguarded by equipment she installed because of the November incident. The utility says the system is getting hit with unusually stormy weather. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports.
Tamala Bhutan and her husband were driving home on the night of February 19th, and they saw a tree on fire on the side of the highway. They called it in, pulled over, and started shooting video of a flaming tangle of branches and power lines. There's the telltale flicker of orange flames, and then...
Oh! There you go.
Power's out.
A blinding burst of light. The fire goes dark, and so do the streetlights stretching out in front of them. A city official reported new surge-related damage at Bartlett Regional Hospital, and to the city's water and wastewater utilities. Debbie Driscoll from Juneau's electric utility company says unusually bad storms and icing conditions have been hitting Juneau since the fall.
It was just one weather pattern after another. High winds, heavy snow, sometimes all three coming together at the same time.
One way the utility measures its own reliability is by how long the average customer's power is out each year. Driscoll says historically, it's been less than 2 hours. Last year, it was close to 10.
And that was a result of storms. That was just severe weather conditions. And just like you see in Texas and other areas, there have been severe weather conditions that cause unusual circumstances on the system.
When the power came back on February 19th, residents of the Blackerby Street neighborhood near Twin Lakes discovered scorched outlets and surge protectors, dead circuit breakers, and fried appliances.
We lost like four surge, power strip surge protectors.
Shauna Crondahl was surprised she hadn't any damage. She had a whole home surge protector installed because of the November incident.
We thought it hadn't worked until we heard about all the damage everyone else had, and then we were like, okay, maybe it like mostly worked.
Lene Waldron wasn't so lucky.
I lost my washer, dryer, my heating system, my hot tub.
She's been in touch with her insurance company and the electric utility, AEL&P. She's frustrated.
Frustrated that AEL&P won't take any responsibility. I mean, they keep saying they're telling people to put surge protectors on their meters, but I think that should have been more of a priority.
Debbie Driscoll with the utility company says there's inherent risk with electricity, and the utility usually isn't responsible for damage caused by Mother Nature.
It is frustrating for customers. I can understand that. Absolutely.
In the latest case, Driscoll says AELMP had properly maintained the trees in the affected utility corridor, but a tree from beyond the utility's right-of-way fell into their power lines, which led to the fire and explosion that was caught on video. Driscoll says the liability question was clear-cut in this case, but it wasn't in the November case.
That's when you want someone else making that determination. You want industry experts, people that aren't associated with AELMP, and I know that our insurance company hired independent consultants.
A piece of AELMP equipment failed that led to the November surge. The utility's insurance company says it had been in excellent condition, but, quote, spontaneously fractured from ice buildup and wind. The insurer says AELMP was not liable for the extraordinary natural forces, and insurance claims would not be paid out. One perk that AELMP continues to offer is free installation of whole home surge protectors. They're not foolproof, but their warranties cover a lot of home electronics. Several local electric shops sell them for about $200. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And in another part of the state, Matanuska-Susitna Borough submitted a bid to host the 2024 Arctic Winter Games. KNBA's Trip Krause reports.
The Arctic Winter Games happen every 2 years. It's a multi-sport event, an indigenous cultural celebration involving communities and participants from around the circumpolar north. And this is Matanuska-Susitna Borough's first real shot at hosting the convention. The borough's purchasing officer, Russ Kraft, says the borough has bid on previous games, but never made it this far into the process.
We're hoping that the end of March, 1st of April, we'll receive notification from the International Committee that our bid has been accepted. Once that happens, we have to work out a few details in terms of the contract that is signed between the borough and the International Committee to go ahead and get moving forward.
Alaska typically hosts the games every 8 to 10 years, and it had already been decided that the 2024 games would return to the state, but it's up to individual municipalities and regions to bid on hosting the games. Kraft believes the borough is the only entity that's made it this far in the process. Sean Maltby is chef de mission for Team Alaska. That's a fancy term that means he's in charge of the team that picks and organizes the youth athletes from Alaska to compete in the winter games. In the game's 50-year history, Alaska has hosted the event 6 times, most recently the 2014 games in Fairbanks. Maltby says competing in Alaska gives an edge to athletes from the state.
It just gives them the upper advantage of being in their home turf to be able to play their sport and perform their art, whatever it may be. We still play a part in, you know, being able to showcase our state and our culture and everything else.
On the Mat-Su Borough's website, a news release says a submission was mailed to the Games Operations Coordinator on February 19th. The review process takes about 3 weeks to complete before a decision will be made. And Mat-Su Borough's Russ Kraft says the region has a lot to gain.
This provides not only a direct economic impact from just holding the games here and having, you know, 2,000 plus visitors come into the area during a time of the year when there traditionally is very little tourism, but it also puts us out there for the world to see so that they can see what the valley has to offer.
While the borough would simply provide oversight into planning the project, a nonprofit society will handle putting on the games, but they haven't formed yet, and a lot of work still needs to be done to prepare in the meantime.
And this would provide us with an opportunity to start highlighting everything that we've been doing over the past, you know, 10, 20 years. The networks of ski trails, the infrastructure that we've built as far as all of these different facilities. It's going to allow them to be on center stage to the world as all of these athletes that are coming in from the different, you know, northern nations.
Kraft says a number of people, organizations, and nonprofits have already started to reach out to the borough with offers to help.
We're starting to see that kind of upwelling of support a little bit earlier than we anticipated we were going to see it. And that really makes us more and more confident that we're going to be able to do this and that what we're going to put out there is going to be a world-class event. And the borough is going to be on center stage.
The Mat-Su Borough may have a lot of work still to do, but the 2024 games are still a ways out. The 2022 Arctic Winter Games are scheduled to take place in Wood Buffalo, Alberta, Canada. Organizers canceled the 2020 games in Whitehorse, Yukon out of COVID-19 concerns. The decision to cancel was the first since 1970 when the games began. In Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.
And this is KTOO News in Juneau.